from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
In a world full of disrespect, I season these burgers with respect. Let's do respect burgers.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-E-C-T.
Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
First one's going to Steph Curry.
Respect.
It's a beautiful thing to see Steph Curry when he's in the zone. And he was in the zone for both of the U.S. men's basketball team's final 2 games, and boy, did they need him. Team high 24 points in the U.S.'s 98-87 gold medal win over France on Saturday. Had us all up out of our seats, much like he had done in the semifinals against Serbia. Had 36 points in that game. The 95-91, remember, U.S. trailed for most of it, 35 of the 40 minutes, and by double digits for a lot of it. And so 60 points over the final 2 games for Steph Curry. 9 of 14 from 3 against Serbia. Followed that up by going 8 of 13 from 3 against France. That adds up to 17 of 27 just from 3 in the final 2 games. That's 63%. He was one of 5 players named to the All-Star 5 from the Olympics. Joined Nikola Jokic, joined Victor Wembanyama, joined Germany's Dennis Schroeder, and joined the great LeBron James, who was obviously named team MVP. John and I talked about that, I think rightfully so. LeBron was relied upon all the way through pool play, all the way up until the final game, but it was Steph who just, I think, took our breath away is the best way to describe those last 2 games. It's fun to see, and you just saw the, just to see the sort of waves, and I guess LeBron did this too, and KD would, and probably pretty much any NBA player that you stick in the middle of France, put them smack dab in the middle of France and watch how the world responds. The world is just as much fans as we are here in America, but every time that I saw Steph out, he was mob. They were all trying to get to him. We know how much the kids love him, everything else. And he always seems to, try to sign every autograph, do everything possible. Again, we talk about, not liking him here just because of his status with Golden State and more so the rivalry we've had with them. But, Steph Curry is just about a guy that's done everything right, and you can't help but feel good for him over the weekend, especially the way he had sort of struggled through the rest of the Olympics in his opener. And so shout out to Steph Curry. His wife was over there. Did you see what happened with him and the police, though?
I did see
when the president was coming out, the baby got hit in the head by the police or whatever else, caused a little bit of a scene. Aisha had her crying. She was out there with her mom and the baby and these mobs. But this one caused, I think, by the president of France leaving where they were. They were like, can you help them? They're getting knocked around. The baby's getting knocked around. Because I don't think Steph was around at that point.
Right.
Draymond was out there, though. Shout out to him. But we don't usually do that around here, and there are way more reasons to hate on Draymond, and usually it's rightfully so. But apparently he was out there vouching for Aisha. That's the kind of teammate I want, a guy that's not just going to – I mean, he is a guy who punched a teammate. That said, we know he's going to rep for Steph. We know he's going to have Steph's back. And then to be apparently out there doing it, with Aisha and with Aisha's mom when the baby was getting knocked around as police tried to protect the president. I think Steph probably appreciates that from Draymond, a little bit of defense there. Moving on, still in the Olympics, though. definitely respect burgers to all involved, and you'd have to cook up a bunch of them, and I don't have the time, so we're going to give it to the whole team. U.S. Track and Field. They were not all of that great in the Tokyo Games. Mixed results is the way that most have described it. But they earned 34 total medals, the most by U.S. in track and field since 1984. It feels like the aforementioned 1984 Olympics, and it'll feel a lot like that next year, four years from now in 2028 when we go back to L.A. But 34 of our Olympic-leading 126 total medals were from track and field. So that's about 27%, about a quarter, a little bit more than a quarter of our medals came from track and field. Americans also swept all four hurdle events for the first time in history, and U.S. men earned a medal in 9 of 10 individual track events. And so the 34, to put that into context, the most in terms of most track and field medals acquired by any other country, you'd have to go all the way down to Kenya. Kenya was the second most in track with 11. Then you go down to Great Britain, 10, Australia, 7. So nobody comes close to us in both men's and women's track and field. We obviously saw Noah Lyles win the 100 for the first time for the Americans in a while. Sydney McLaughlin-Lavroni went out and set a world record. Obviously, the women's 400-meter hurdles. We cannot mention the track and field performances and not mention her. And also, in one we hadn't mentioned as much, but he set an Olympic record, Cole Hocker, in the men's 1500 meter race. So again, that 34 medals contributing to a total count of 126, that ended up being the most, we know. Tied in goals, 40-40. This is overall now with China, but China did have 40 goals to our 40 goals. And John's still impressed, or not as impressed, but I am impressed. The fact that China tied us in goals with only 388 athletes,
yeah,
and we had 594?
Yeah, we did.
I mean, that's efficiency for the Chinese.
Yes, it is.
You have to hand it to them. All right, and then respect, moving on to the Olympics, but sort of closing it out. I don't know if you noticed this. I haven't heard it mentioned. I was watching very keenly, though. Respect to France's use of gold dust. The former WWE wrestler played by Dustin Rhodes. Did y'all see that in the closing ceremony? That was gold dust.
The thing that came out of the air?
That was gold dust out there. Do you remember the wrestler?
Yes.
Yeah, that was
how
gold
you forget
dust
shattered
out there.
Dreams.
Man, shout out to Dustin Rhodes, son of the Hall of Famer Dusty Rhodes. Now, this is a lie. It's not gold dust that was actually doing it. But didn't he look like, go look at the gold man in the closing ceremonies and tell me that doesn't remind you of gold dust back in the day. For the WWE.
He was in the inspiration, you're saying.
There you go. I mean, it was essentially, it looked like the same costume,
gold,
damn
near. Gold lust, right?
Is I it thought gold? It was gold,
no, it's
dust.
Gold dust.
It's gold dust.
It's definitely gold
dust. Don't mess with my wrestling knowledge here. I'm
just
trying to sound
song.
Real
the
smart
song is
here.
Called Gold Lust.
Yep. Dustin Rhodes, right?
Here.
Son of Dusty, used to play gold dust back in the day. And I swear it was all I could think about as
this
I was watching
it.
This gold man that France used in the Olympics. They just brought back gold dust. Talking about this was their idea. They ripped it off from us. All right?
They did rip
it off. Is that from the music last night?
This is the theme.
No, that's his theme song when it comes out.
Gold Dust theme is called Gold Lust. This is the theme song.
This sounds like the music from last night, though, is what I'm saying, bro.
Yeah.
They just ripped it off of us. I heard no one else has connected these dots, so you're welcome on that. France used Gold Dust last night. And then the USA's use of Tom Cruise.
Oh, my God, that was awesome.
Now, I don't care where you are on Tom Cruise, if you love him or you hate him. But to see a 62-year-old man at the top of that stadium and then to rappel down on a rope was some real Mission Impossible type stuff, and that was the way it was set up. Now, this was not France's use of Tom Cruise. This was actually our use, the U.S.'s use.
You can see what we're doing.
As the baton is handed off to L.A. for the 2028 Olympics. And so what we did was have Tom Cruise rappel down from the top of the stadium live, then come down, shake athletes' hands, then go out of there on a motorcycle, ends up passing the Eiffel Tower. I guess all that was pre-recorded. Gets on an airplane. He then skydives out of the airplane. He comes down where? In Hollywood, by the Hollywood sign, to where he then puts up three Olympic rings to go with the two O's in Hollywood and show the Olympic rings for 2028 as the baton is handed off. Welcome, L.A., welcoming us all to L.A. for 2028. It was fantastic. And the fact that he is 62 doing this, Still doing his own
That's
stunts.
Amazing.
He did look
62.
Like he had a little work done on the face.
A little bit.
I mean, he's tight.
But again,
I get
and a lot of people hold that against him, yeah. Much like Jeffrey Wright holds Tom Brady's construction against him.
It's all good. He's got the money to do that.
Nobody likes to age.
It's fine.
Right?
Nobody likes a person that chops up their face.
No.
Right?
No.
We just don't like. But how
his
can you
not,
still
his
not
wasn't
respect
well done,
that?
Though. It was pretty striking, though. I don't think they did a good job on it.
Yeah, you could definitely tell he's got, like, some eye work done.
Y'all getting caught up in the wrong things again.
Little Kenny Rogers-esque, if I might say.
He can be as chopped up as he wants to be. He can look like Michael Jackson out there. Michael Jackson wasn't rappelling down from the stadium,
point.
And so you have to set your hate to the side
right.
And respect this man doing these stunts at 62 years old.
No, that's nuts. It really is nuts.
It's comparable to LeBron winning MVP of the Olympics at 39 years old.
Yeah, no question.
Tom Cruise still doing these stunts.
What we need to glorify aging naturally. Like, you know, I get it. You were once upon a time a strapping, handsome young man, and you're getting old now. But that's what happens. That's what happens. And it's okay. Okay? Like, you getting that work done, it does not make you look like that dude anymore.
Has Clooney had work?
No.
Then he's doing it naturally.
He is. He's one of one in that regard. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody has...
I want to say I respect that about him when I'm seeing
sure.
him in these commercials,
100%.
That I'm not seeing work done.
Respect.
I see a man that's aging but still handsome.
Leo has aged naturally.
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell. I mean, he looks different. He's not as handsome as he used to be, mm-hmm. right? I mean,
yes.
Tom Hanks has not had work, right?
Well, I wouldn't consider Tom Hanks a super handsome guy, but
Tom Hanks is, what are you talking about? Yeah, but still, over the years,
he
remained
a
star
work
without having work. Yeah,
I think that's a fair point.
I don't think Ben Affleck has had work done.
I don't know.
I'm looking at the pictures.
Yeah, I don't know about Ben.
I don't think he has.
But I don't think Matt has. Matt's gone up weight, down weight, all that. These are all white guys.
Well, that ain't got nothing
black
to do with
don't
it.
Crack.
No,
it does. It has everything to do with it. You understand what I'm saying?
You always
black
look great.
Black don't crack.
It's a wonderful
So you don't have
thing.
To go get it. It's a blessing.
What's
it is
that
a total
all about?
Blessing.
What's that all about? I mean, I hear that term all the time, but what's the scientific explanation?
God, you know.
Nah, I don't know. I said scientific, man.
Natural, you know, juices and berries in terms of the compared
now,
to
now. Bill Cosby
all that
aged.
Damn sunscreen y'all use, which
Bill
may
Cosby,
be causing right. cancer.
Bill
we don't
Cosby
know.
Aged.
Yeah, he did.
That
he
must
did.
Be the prison.
Bill did age.
Doing that to him.
OJ aged, but because he was holding a secret.
Well, yeah, it wasn't so much a secret. It was just he was.
But like, look at Carl.
He
Lewis.
Got away with it.
Look at Carl Lewis. Dude's
yeah,
not aging.
Carl Lewis looks great.
Yeah, he's not.
Give me like a mainstream current example of like the best example of black don't crack.
The best example. It was probably be one of these.
You know who it
like,
is?
Like
Angela
Iman.
Bassett.
Like Iman. Yeah, probably Angela Bassett. Probably be one of these beautiful women that have looked.
I have a good white example. Ralph Macchio looks amazing.
Angela Bassett hasn't had any work whatsoever.
Angela Bassett is 65.
Yeah,
she's incredible.
Gorgeous, and I don't believe has had any work done whatsoever.
That's 65.
But I would also say Iman is in that. You know, the model Iman.
Okay.
She's up there still as beautiful as ever. Last time I saw her.
What about Ime Udoka's girl? What was her name?
Man, who dope.
Naomi.
Nia Long.
Nia Long, sorry.
Yeah, Nia Long's a beauty. She's a beauty.
Yeah.
She's, you know.
Yeah, she's 53.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's insane.
Oh.
It is. We got a little sidetracked here.
Meanwhile, I'm aging like a banana.
With respect burgers, but Tom Cruise is cut up as he is in the face, and that obviously bothers Brad. But you have to give him respect.
I think it's just,
I
appreciate it. In fact, I'd love to have the money to do a good job. I just wouldn't do it if I'm going to look like him and Kenny Rogers.
No, I agree. You're going to spend all that money.
Do a good job, bro. Like, you can do, like, some computer graphics to figure out what it's going to look like or something, right?
I think for the most part, you can.
Yeah.
And then just to finish off Respect Burgers here. I'm going to do it, John. All of them except for, and it's probably not his fault, but all of the first round QBs that played over the weekend, except for Drake May, I just feel like he probably didn't get enough of an opportunity, even though he's got C grades from these folks that have, you know, graded up. I'm not gonna say he was bad. Just about everyone, including Bo Nix, was good. I mean, B to A quality. John mentioned it. J.J. McCarthy looked good out there as well. So I thought all of the first round rookie quarterbacks that got action over the weekend, they all did. Looked like they were ready. Looked like they were ready to play the part, as opposed to you know, these past drafts where you've seen some guys early on and whoa, I don't know if he should be there. Thought for the most part they all looked good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think again you're going to see more Drake May on Thursday, so I think we can determine whether or not.
Yeah, because reports were that J.J. McCarthy had not looked good in camp, and yet he comes out in this game, he looks great against the Raiders. So in the same mode, Drake May, I'm not, you know, let's see what you look like next game, as John's saying, as opposed to following these reports that Joe Milton's ahead of you and all that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely right. I don't know. It's hard to pick a disrespect dog on such a you know, a beautiful weekend, you know, with champions crowned and gold medals handed out.
Go ahead. I don't want to interrupt you. There's a golfer, apparently, a Kuchar, that could have been up for this.
Yeah, he blew it, right?
Well, that made him go back. Yeah. Made him go back and finish the tournament today when he was completely out of contention. I don't understand it, but the people are criticizing him today. I don't know all the details. I don't know if you'd go there.
Yeah, no, where I want to go is the Red Sox outfielder, Jaron Duran.
You'll have to school me on him.
Well, he was at the plate, and in between pitches, he was responding to a fan who was telling him that he needed a tennis racket, and he called him a bleeping F-word.
Okay, that's, yeah.
Now, we're supposed to be better than this in 2024, aren't we?
Yeah,
we're not supposed to use that word.
Something as weak as
he's tennis getting on racket.
About a tennis, he didn't talk about your mom, he didn't talk about anything that... You know, you need to be above it all as much as you can. And no, I'm not saying fans can say whatever, but come on. Saying you need a tennis racket, that's what sets you off?
Right. You could have picked a lot of different words, like Kamala's favorite slur, which was, not slur, but curse word, MF. She said it, not me. That's her favorite curse word.
Well, that is your favorite curse word. Why you got to bring up the fact that Kamala loves it?
I don't know.
It's your favorite curse word.
You think it is? MF? I don't know. I think my favorite is...
You curse like a sailor.
I do have
what Kamala doing.
I do have a potty mouth. I do. But I think curse words add. I do. I wish this show was not FCC regulated. Because I think it adds. Especially in like big moments. You know what I'm saying? Like big days.
Now you letting the stuff that came out of your MAGA meeting over the weekend sort of bleed over into the show.
I thought
we were agreed that we were going to keep it separate.
Which part?
You know, what y'all said about Kamala.
Yeah. Well, I'm not at liberty to share.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what's being said in there.
Yeah, I'm not at liberty to share what we
talked
about.
There was something else you said today.
Yeah.
That's right, earlier.
Kamala won't debate.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trump wants three. She only wants the one. So.
Okay.
Again. You know,
and now she's a cursor.
Do you either want the smoke? You either want the smoke or you don't.
Mm.
I mean, it's just that.
Y'all were in there telling Willie Brown stories.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know what y'all doing.
But Jaron, you know, you just have to. This is Jaron Duran, not Jaron Jackson Jr.
Right.
Just to be clear, we can use different words. That's all. Again, I'm not the cancel guy.
He must be going through a slump or something to let something.
But. You know, he's issued
something
an apology
that lightweight.
And
yeah,
so.
Something that lightweight to make you go there. There's
he was 0-3, you know.
Inexcusable.
But he was the All-Star Game MVP. I mean, the guy's pretty good. So I'm not sure what's going on. Either way, he gets the glizzy today on August the 12th. All right, we'll come back. Joe Theismann going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Jaden Daniels' debut, how much more he expects to see this preseason, rookie quarterbacks around the league. Lots to get to.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
With Joe Theismann is one of the greats, a Memphian, longtime NFL quarterback, and one of our favorites here on the show, joins us now. Joe, good to hear from you, my friend. How are we?
I'm great, guys. Sorry I missed you guys last week. I was a little out of touch, so glad I'm with you today.
That's right.
Glad to have you, bro.
So, and honestly, I kind of prefer that it broke this way because we actually get to talk about a debut that happened as opposed to previewing one. And that, of course, is that of Jaden Daniels, who one drive of work, one touchdown, would have been a perfect drive if not for a ticky-tack false start that was called, and probably not Jaden's fault. But what did you think of what you saw in that drive against the Jets this weekend from the rookie QB, Joe?
I thought he came as advertised. The touchdown pass, the big play that he threw was audibilized. He changed from something to something else. I thought he ran the read option extremely well, looked very confident and comfortable in the pocket. And these are all the things that everybody talked about during training camp that they've been observing. So, you know, he just sort of carried it over into the game. I know it's a small sample, but it certainly gives a lot of people in Washington tremendous hope.
What's the locker room feel? And obviously Jaden Daniels is going to be the guy, so the locker room has known for a long time that that is the franchise's intention. But I'm just, when you walk into a locker room after a performance like that as a rookie QB, it must feel good when you've got all guys on board. And now they probably believe. You know, they've seen it through practice, but when they see it like that, they probably believe, right?
Yeah, the guys have to see it with their eyes.
Yeah.
You know, you could walk around and everybody talks about leadership and that kind of thing. Leadership comes from performance. If you perform under pressure, if you, you know, take a big hit and you get back up, those are all things that players look at, the toughness, the intelligence, protecting the ball, making sure that you have a chance to be able to score. Those are all things that you do visually that can impress people. You know, when everybody talks the game, it doesn't hold water, not in our business, because the film's not going to lie, the coaches are going to lay it out on the line, and the players know exactly what's going on. And in Jaden's case, he really has checked all the boxes. I mean, he's a good teammate, he works hard, he studies hard, and to me, you know, you're there early, you work hard, you put that little extra effort in, guys see it and they appreciate it.
Joe, are you expecting to see, I don't know what the plan is, are you expecting after that to see much more of Jaden Daniels this preseason? What do you think that looks like for him?
You know, he may let him start this week again just to get a feel for starting. And actually the fact that they played the Jets in the Meadowlands was good because the season opener is in Tampa. So, you know, it's all the little things that that happen make a difference. Starting on the road versus starting at home. Getting a feel for it. Now, I think they play this one. They might play this one at home. So that's another different scenario for him. I think he might play him very similar to what he did in the first one. For sure, he's not going to play him in the third. We're just, you know, that's going to be, you know, everybody, Jeff, and it's going to be Sam and Marcus. Those three will go in the third. But I would think he'd give him one more sampling. He did a great job with one drive. I think he'd like to get his feet a little bit more wet.
And tell me, Joe, because I've asked you a ton. We've asked you a ton about Jaden Daniels this offseason and then today. But watching it, too, I just wonder, having a guy like Austin Ekeler and the sort of best friend to a quarterback, in this case a rookie one, that feels like he can be out of the backfield as a safety valve, just his addition and how much you think how Ekeler will be used in this offense?
I think he'll be used in the passing game quite a bit. You know, Brian Robinson, we remember 2 years ago he was shot and missed a lot of his rookie season. So last year he sort of was finding his way as well.
Yep.
He's sort of a big hammer. Well, it reminds me a little bit with Austin when I had John Riggins and Joe Washington. You know, Joe could run inside. Austin runs as well inside as anybody. But, you know, I think he's out of the backfield a little bit more in the passing game.
Yep.
You know, Brian will be the guy that they're going to lean on. And really, if you can establish a running game with a young quarterback, it takes so much pressure off him having to deal with third and tens, third and eights, third and nines, all those big plays. And, you know, the time that he's spending now, the cohesion of the offensive line, you know, the mistake that, you know, there was a false start. Well, that happens in games. The important thing is you don't want to make it a habit.
Yeah, we're talking to Joe Theismann here on the show. Longtime Washington great, so world champion here on the show. A lot of other debuts from rookie quarterbacks across the league. No shortage. Michael Penix, Bo Nix, J.J. McCarthy, just to name a few. Of those QBs, Caleb Williams, was there one performance that maybe stood above the rest for you from what you saw this weekend?
Yeah, I think Caleb was the one that jumped out at me because he basically did some of the things in this particular game for Chicago that he did at USC, using his legs, making throws on the run. You know, the one big pass play, the improvisational pass play where he was being smashed and the ball came out. You know, I have to laugh. But people will say, well, geez, that was Patrick Mahomes-like. No, it wasn't. Okay, that's one play. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes, best quarterback in football. And so you've got to, you know, they want to be able to draw a comparison against somebody who's really great when you're really not quite at that stage. One play doesn't necessarily do it. But I was impressed with the way he handled himself. All the young guys, I thought, did pretty well through the course of this weekend.
Agreed. And so I'd ask you, is what would be the reason for Sean Payton and Denver, with where they are as a franchise, not to go ahead and give – you know, and based on what we saw, he looks like he's ready for it. But I realize you know, it's a process. But to not go ahead and make Bo Nix the starter, he can do a lot of things, it feels like, in that Sean Payton offense.
Yeah, he can. But I think, you know, at this stage, Sean's still trying to figure out what he's got.
Okay.
Yeah, like yeah. I said, it is so difficult. You look at all the young guys that played. If you were to take every one of them and look at them and go, boy, they really did well. But that's what are we talking about? 5 minutes of a football game?
Sure.
We didn't see him in the red zone. We didn't see him in short yardage situation. We didn't see him under pressure. You know, there's so many things that you did not see before you anoint somebody. And in Washington, it has to be Jake. There's no two ways about it. But, you know, Sean may have an option. I think he does have an option if he wants to go in a different direction in Denver. So when you take a look at the young guys, hey, everybody should be satisfied and happy. Basically, you go to the general manager and say, you did a heck of a job. I think we really have somebody foundationally here that we can look at to go forward. But are you ready to anoint the kid number one at this stage? I don't think he's in that big a hurry.
Obviously, there's a couple of things working for the Commanders. One is the, you know, Daniels, who appears to be poised for a very good season ahead, a new regime. But also the dysfunction in Dallas. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is a holdout. Dak seems like he's got one foot out the door. A lot of change on that offensive line. How tough, if maybe you disagree, but how tough a season do you think it lies ahead for the Dallas Cowboys?
I think all you need to do is slip on one banana peel down in Dallas, and it's going to be a tough sledding for everybody. You know, Jerry has basically taken a stance with CD. He's just not going to, I'm trying to figure out what he's exactly trying to say. I've listened to two of his interviews and two of his quotes, and in one, we're not in a hurry to get him, and the other thing is, I miss you, and it's like, okay, I am totally confused on exactly what you're trying to do here, coach, GM, coach, owner. I guess here's the thing. When you look at the contracts that have been signed by other quarterbacks, Tua in Miami, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, Jordan Love up in Green Bay, I said this before, what message is Jerry Jones sending to Dak Prescott? Now, Dak Prescott may want to be, maybe that's the problem. Maybe it's Dak's demands that are prohibitive of Jerry getting the job done. It's going to be 50-plus. Now, where does the number lie? Does he want to be the highest-paid quarterback in football? I don't think he deserves that. He's in that range of between 50 and 55. And then the question is, what's going to be the guarantee? He's 31 years old, guys. So let's think this through. You're Dak Prescott. You're 31 years old. You've been a Dallas Cowboy all your life, and you've performed at a level well enough to get him into some playoff opportunities, but haven't really taken him where every Cowboy fan wants that football franchise to go. All right. Now you play your contract out. You're a free agent at the age of 32. What kind of deal do you think you're going to get from somebody at that stage of your career, when they're trying to build their football team?
Schefter thinks
he's going to look at the big picture.
I was just going to say, though, Joe, that Schefter thinks he's going to get 60-plus, that he's going to reset the market in a way, forget the 55, and I'm with you in terms of what he's earned to this point, but that because he's going to hit free agency, that a team like the Raiders or the Giants, if they've decided, Daniel Jones is not the guy and they can get off that contract, that one of those teams, maybe even Pittsburgh, who knows, if they don't like what they've seen from Fields and Russell Wilson, that there will be one of those teams out there, maybe it's the Raiders, that goes 60-plus for him afterwards.
I cannot see him getting 60-plus. I would be very surprised. Of course, I didn't see anybody getting 50, so what the heck do I know? But if you I just can't see him getting 60, and I can't see him getting 60 from someplace else. I mean, we are deficient at the quarterback position in the National Football League. But I think that six young guys that are on the horizon right now and other young guys that are playing well. So, it's starting to fill up a little bit. But, age is a factor with that. Plus, look at this. You're going to join another football team. He's been in a similar system now where he really knows it like the back of his hands. All of a sudden, you have limited practice time, limited OTAs, limited mini camp, limited training camp, hardly no preseason to speak of. So you're going to, he's going to have to learn an entirely new system, an entirely new group of guys. To me, the smart move on Dak's part is get as close as you can to what you want. And it's like any negotiation. Ask for what you believe you want. And then let's see where the compromise is. Lamar Jackson, classic example. Now Dak has a different situation because he has a no trade, no franchise clause in his contract, so he'll become a free agent. But then you do roll the dice. Let's say some of these young guys play well. Where do you go? So I think it's but the longer this thing goes on, I think the more possibly of an issue it becomes for the Cowboys going forward. And certainly, hanging out here in the background is Micah Parsons.
Yep, he's got to get paid.
Got to get his money.
I want to ask you from a philosophical standpoint, Joe, in Denver and in Minnesota specifically, they spend high draft picks, Bo Nix at 12, J.J. McCarthy at 10, and they're, we'll see. Maybe Denver rolls with Bo Nix. Jarrett Stidham at this point is considered the starter, and then Sam Darnold is the presumed starter in Minnesota. But is that really the way to do it anymore? I mean, if you spend a high draft pick on a quarterback, is it not in your best interest from a salary cap standpoint, from a developmental standpoint, not to put him out there and surround him with good play calling and good players and maximize him while he's on that rookie deal?
Well, you know, the rookie deal runs more than just the 1 year. Remember that. I mean, it's like, you know, 3 years before you really have to pay anybody. I think of the Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick situation in San Francisco. I think of Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. There have been guys who have sat that I think have benefited for Patrick Mahomes and Alex Smith again. I think there are guys who have sat for a year and really benefited from the experience of being able to watch the pro work. What are his work habits? What do I need to do? How do I understand this offense? How do I learn to read defenses? You know, it's a very intricate, very difficult position to play. You know, we see guys go out and do so well, and it's like, hey, that looks easy. But it's not by any stretch. With these young guys, I would be of the ilk to let them sit. If they have to play, they play. But right now, I put him out there until the other guy proves he can't play, and then I would turn to him because that's why he drafted him. But I wouldn't necessarily, in those other places we talked about, put him out on the football field quite yet.
You know, here in Memphis, we are hoping that Ja Morant can get back on the floor and sort of remind the NBA how good he is. Now, Ja's got his own part in that. Taking that to football, I'm just wondering, are you expecting Aaron Rodgers to sort of remind us of the greatness, the four MVPs, or are you expecting the Jets to be disappointed that you've gone and gotten this guy you hope to be a savior, and you're not the contender you think you are? Which way you think it goes?
You've heard me say this umpteen times. The quarterback position is the single most dependent position on the field.
Yes, sir.
The way it will go, probably, in New York, is if he gets protection, then I think Aaron has a chance to be able to do the things that people want him to do as a Jet. If the Jets struggle offensively up front, then he's going to struggle at the position. Mm-hmm. Are guys going to hold on to the football? Are they going to make plays? And the little bit of time that he's missed is insignificant as far as I'm concerned, because he knows the offense like the back of his hand. So, to me, that's a question I can honestly say I don't know the answer to, because it depends a lot more on what's around Aaron than what Aaron is.
No, that makes sense.
He's 40 years old, but he doesn't play like a 40-year-old. Tom Brady didn't play like a 40-year-old. You know, these are exceptional individuals. And the thing is, as long as you have your arm, you can get it done. If you can throw, you can play. If you can throw and you can breathe, you got a job in the National Football League. That's the way it goes.
C.J. Stroud set record as a rookie last season, Joe, and they have surrounded him with even more weapons in that offense. Obviously, bringing in Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins healthy, Tank Dell healthy. They connect on the touchdown this weekend, and yep. It all looks great. I mean, what are we saying about Stroud when this season is over? Is he going to officially cement himself in that category with, if he hasn't already, you know, Mahomes, Burrow, you know, maybe Josh Allen? Is he going to be there undisputedly when this season is over?
I don't think he has to cement himself in that regard. I think you want to see progress. You know, they're not going to win every, you know, nobody's going to win every football game, I don't believe, in this day and age. 17 football games, you're dealing with health at the quarterback position as well as other positions. I think C.J. Stroud has laid a tremendous foundation for he and Houston. I really believe that he has, the foundation that he has created for that football team is something to build on. And I've said this many times, the great pyramids in Egypt were not built on their point. They're built on a foundation. He has laid a foundation. He played smart football. He protected the ball. He didn't try and force it into different situations. Ran extremely well when he had to and didn't, and always made sure he was able to get up and go again. So, you know, from that perspective, I think we're going to be talking next year about no sophomore slump, but C.J. Stroud taking another stride forward and becoming one of the better quarterbacks in this game.
Joe, man, this was great as always. We appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Joe.
Hey, love visiting with you guys. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yes, sir. He is Joe Theismann, Super Bowl champ, NFL MVP, Memphian. What else could you ask for? What else could you ask for in a career? Former Sunday Night Football broadcaster from 1988 to 2005.
Love what he said about Caleb. Ooh.
You getting the vapors over there?
Yeah. You know, just hoping it wasn't just me. Yeah. But
Joe had a hell of a run on Sunday Night Football. 88 to 05.
Yeah, when he on there with who was it? Bob Lee? Him and Bob Lee a long time? Maybe not. Maybe I'm making that up. But it seemed like him and Bob were a tandem for a while.
Didn't he do? He did Monday Night Football with Jaws for a little bit, right?
That too, probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has. He's done it all. He's done it all at the NFL level. Man,
wouldn't want to coach the Showboats, I'm sure.
I don't think so. I don't think so. With the, you know, yeah, I don't believe that's.
Let me on a golf course
in his
somewhere.
Future.
Coach them.
Oh my God. Shoot 360. Got me vibing, man. Got me vibing on my phone. Brand new facility in Cordova. It is huge. Many people are saying 50,000 square foot. Two NBA regulation size courts. Three high school size courts. And four shooting bays with the same technology that helps everybody get better. You know that guy that had those shots in the Olympic gold medal game over Wimby? Yeah, he uses Shoot 360. It's in the Golden State practice facility. Now, I ain't saying you're going to hit shots over Wimby. That would be irresponsible of me to say. But can you get better at it? 100%. Shoot 360. Get your membership today.
Yep. New place at 1375 Big Orange Road. Got the other Oak location in Kyrville. Still open and newly renovated at 85 Market Center Drive. And don't worry, your membership will count at both spots. So no matter what part of town you're in, you can get into that game. And as John said, this is the future. This is what everybody's doing, including Steph. Thaddeus Young, big investor here. And this is what he's going to have his kids on now that they're playing this technology. Super interactive, including the passing and ball handling drills. A lot like playing a video game. It's what's going to suck your kid in. They're not going to know how good they're getting because they're going to feel like they're playing a video game. Do you understand that, John?
Yes.
I got to realize sometimes who I'm talking to.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? My audience?
Yes.
Your audience is going to be maybe 18,000, 20,000 should you get your skills up at Shoot 360 and become that professional basketball player. Got to be responsible, though. Got to be responsible with that. Go get your membership. You make the call, 779-3176. Again, 901-779-3176. Go be a part of the future of basketball training here in Memphis at Shoot 360.
We're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. We didn't talk a ton about the women's gold medal game. It was up early
on
Sunday. The basketball. The gold medal game between the United States and France. I got to tell you, I had obviously never watched France play. I mean, they actually are pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I didn't recognize anybody. I'd be completely from their team. But that Gabby Williams, bro, she was splashing the United States. And then, man, just tragic for
France.
Now,
why is she not in the league?
Apparently.
She's suspended?
I don't think she's suspended. I think, there was a report I read that everybody that was with the French team committed to being in France this past year to be ready for the Olympics. So I think she played in France this year. Apparently, she was in France this year. So I don't know. I was incredibly impressed by her. Put her team in a chance to, position to win. So, but for me, it was about Asia Wilson. And again, I think we need a new coach. I thought the offense was pretty unimaginative. They're turning the ball all over the court. I'm not going to sit here and say Caitlin Clark would have fixed everything. That's not where I'm going. But I do think we need a different, different leadership is where I would say. Because I just, sitting there going ISO, hoping Asia Wilson bails you out is not a way to win. And that game was way closer than it should have been. I mean, it was, United States 15.5-point favorite. They damn near lost. And that's because Cheryl Reeve just sits there like she don't know what she's doing. So let's get a new change in there. Let's get Josh Pastner in there, and let's get him over it.
Or just get Caitlin Clark on the team.
Again, I didn't want to go there.
It's ridiculous.
But
you should have had her on from the get-go. And then even Dawn Staley was saying, well, if she'd been playing like this, we would have. She's leading the league in assists. You got terrible point guard play, and it almost cost you in the final. Seems like a no-brainer you're going to have him on next year. But, no, that back to the point. Everybody was saying, well, no, she's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you nearly lost to France in this thing. And so, hopefully it'll be more about roster. They have been, they've been more dominant than anybody. In terms of gold medals over, 8 straight? Whatever
right.
It is, they've been more dominant than anybody. Yeah, it got close in the final. But some adjustments, get the best. I suppose my girl Angel Reese will be on that thing in 4 years as well. And maybe we can, distance ourselves a little bit more than we did this Olympics.
Exactly.
Because we got some young stars. And, by the way, go get Arike and get that settled. you know, whatever the deal is with a Gumba Wale.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever your issues are, political, whatever, she didn't think you would take her seriously or would give her a real – get that fixed because she's the best thing in WNBA in terms of one-on-one. She needs to be on the team as well.
Right. Agree totally.
But you're right about Asia. She was the savior. She was the savior.
I mean,
as far as I'm concerned.
And that's – and not surprising. Not surprising. That's who she is. You know,
I love her. She's fun off the court. Like, she's always having – she doesn't take herself too seriously. And yet she clearly puts in the work and wants to be the best player in the league. And I think she's reached that, but it doesn't look like she's done working. That's what I like about her. She just super humble, doesn't – again, just has fun with it, but doesn't take it all so seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And she, you know –
or feel threatened by other good players around her. You see how she's sort of taken Caitlin under her wing, I think, at the All-Star game or whatever. She was, like, I like that, passing it on rather than this resentment toward – you know, the new player.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.